If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll begin in the 17th verse there. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verse 17. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding regions. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Then the men had come to him, and they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that the very hour he cured many infirmities and afflictions and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in the king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not one greater than John the Baptist, but he is he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, Father, that you would bless this time. Father, that you would make it totally yours, that you would use this moment, Father, in our lives to bless us, to challenge us, to change us, to make us more like Jesus than we have ever been. Father, use this moment as only you can use this moment. And Father, we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. There's probably never been a time in America where there is more doubt than there is today. People are filled with doubt. Everywhere you look, there is doubts. There are doubts in every area of society. If you look in the world of science, there is doubts. If you look in the world of finance, if you look in my finances, there's a lot of doubts. If you look in the world of politics, well, this is an election year, so there are doubts. If you look into the world of the virus, what kind of doubts? What about the world of masks? Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? Who does it help if you wear a mask? Does it help anybody if you wear a mask? I don't know if it will do any good if I wear a mask, but if I don't wear a mask, people might get upset with me, so I'll wear a mask. But I doubt that it does any good. So doubts are everywhere. You may be having some doubts today. Do you ever doubt? There are doubts that come into the world of faith, and those are the most serious doubts of all. Do you ever doubt? There are doubts that can shake your life. There are doubts that can ruin your life. And so if you are dealing with doubts today, I want to give you some help. One of the most amazing events of my lifetime took place quite a long time ago. In 1969, our nation was involved in the space race. We were moving toward the moon. The world was in nuclear threat. But there was something that took place that changed our attitudes, that uplifted our spirits in America, that rallied us together. On July 21st, 1969, most of us gathered around a television set. Now, most of those television sets were still in black and white, not in color. Some of them were grainy pictured. Some of them were not, depending on how well you were at adjusting your antenna. But on that set, on that occasion, we gathered as Americans, and we watched the most amazing thing in the world. A man had gotten to the moon, and we saw Neil Armstrong take his first steps on the lunar surface. Wow, it was staggering. We heard those words. That is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. He was joined on the surface of the moon by Buzz Aldrin, the pilot of the lunar lander. Michael Collins had to stay back in the orbiter in the command module. All Americans stood a little taller. All Americans felt a little safer because of this wonderful accomplishment. And if you are one of the viewers, you know what I'm speaking of. It was just great. It made us feel like, wow, we can do anything. We can pull together even in the face of difficult days. There is a movement of doubt in America. Now, I would say all Americans were excited about the event of the space walk, but the moonwalk, but in truth, not all Americans were. There was a segment of Americans that denied that it took place. There was a group that formed and said that there was never actually a man on the moon. Bill Kelsing, a technical writer for Rocketdyne, the maker of engines for the Apollo program, wrote a book. His book was entitled America's $30 Billion Swindle. We never went to the moon. In 1999, a survey was made, and at least 6% of Americans said we never went to the moon. 25% of respondents later to the British Engineering and Technology Journal said humans have never been to the moon. It actually gets worse. We're 48 years since the last lunar mission, and tens of millions of young people have no memory of the race for space. They don't get it. A 2006 poll of a space consultant in Houston, Texas, found that of Americans 18 to 25, a full quarter of them do not believe there has ever been anyone step foot on the moon. Now, I'm not here to argue for whether or not man ever went to the moon. I can tell you that is one issue of life that I don't really have any doubts about. I rest assured of what took place, whether you can or not. We are in a day where there are a lot more doubts. There are people that doubt that there is really a virus out there. Let me tell you, I've been to the funerals. I know that there is a virus out there. There are those that believe that it's purely political. I know that whatever happens in today's world is used by politics. So the fact that it's used by politics doesn't mean that it's purely political. There's actually something there, but some still have doubts. I don't want to argue the doubts or the facts of the virus. There is this area that is more dangerous. There's this area that's more damaging. It's the area that has to do with one's personal relationship with God. The devil wants to capitalize on doubts. He wants to get you to doubt him, to doubt that there is a devil. He wants you to get you to doubt that there is a God. He just wants you to live in doubts, because if you live in doubt and if you don't live in faith, you will do nothing for God in your life. Your life will be wasted and the devil will be the victor. And so the devil keeps trying to sow seeds of doubts. He would have you doubt God's existence, God's power, God's concern, God's ability to forgive. He would have you doubt that Jesus is God. The devil wants you to doubt the identity of Jesus altogether. Now, there may be some in this room that never have any doubts. And if that's you, I got to tell you, I think you're in the minority. You can be a born-again believer. You can be one that believes that Jesus rose from the dead, died, was buried, and rose from the dead, that you can believe that Jesus is your Savior, that you've invited him into your heart, he's forgiven you, you have been baptized, you have been in church, you have tried to serve him, and still have doubts. They come across your mind in waves, and they grip you at difficult times. God's concern for an involvement in this world is real. God's existence and power is real. But doubts still come our way. If you are doubting, I want you to know there's hope. you're really not, you're not alone. There are some people, some great people that have doubted. Probably the most famous doubter of all time was a guy by the name of Thomas. In fact, we don't call him Thomas. We call him what? Doubting Thomas. What a terrible nickname to have. He was in the upper room. He was not in the upper room when Jesus appeared after the resurrection. When Jesus first showed that he was alive from the dead, Thomas was missing. And so when they started telling that Jesus was alive from the dead, Thomas had never seen anybody rise from the dead. He didn't know what had happened. He didn't believe what had happened. He doubted. And doubting, he just could not believe that the one that was crucified so brutally could be alive. But God did for Thomas what God can do for you. Jesus gave Thomas everything he needed to believe. You see, the next time there was a meeting in the upper room, Thomas was there and Jesus appeared and he said, look in my side, look at the wounds in my hand. There's opportunity for you to believe. You can believe in me because I have given you all you need to believe. And Thomas said, I believe. Thomas came to the thought that everything that was said about Jesus being alive from the dead was absolutely true. Now, Thomas wasn't the only doubter, but Thomas set a standard. You see, God will give you whatever you need to have the faith that you need to have. God will give you whatever you need to believe in the most difficult circumstances that you will face. If you will look to Jesus, you will have what you need when the storms come in. You will have what you need to believe and trust your beliefs instead of your doubts. If you ever have doubts, if you have them now, Jesus can conquer your doubts. We need the strength of a believing church. We need the strength of believing Christians to go across our land to encourage others. We don't need to let the waves of doubt carry us away. Now, there's one individual that doubted in the Bible. He didn't get the nickname Doubting Thomas, but he did doubt. Of all the people in the Bible, he's the last person you would think would have doubts, and yet he had doubts. His name was John. In fact, we gave him the name John the Baptist. John the Baptist doubted. And let me look to this morning at John's doubts in verse 19. And John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus saying, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? This is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the one that was born by a miracle of aged parents and was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. That John. This is the one that came into this world by a miracle, and yet even though he came into the world by a miracle, he came to a point that he doubted. He was the one that said, prepare the way for the Messiah. He was the one that told people to repent of their sins and come to God. That John. But doubts attacked him. John had been in prison for a year and a half under Herod's roof. He had done the correct things. He had done the right things. He had stood against sin. He had stood for God. And yet he came to a point where he doubted. He had proclaimed sin, sin. You know, there are a lot of people that are denying sin is sin. They're just ignoring sin. A lot of people do that today. Maybe you do it in your own life. But John said it is wrong to sin. John went into Herod's house where Herod was having a relationship with his own sister-in-law and said, that's wrong. And because he said that's wrong, he didn't receive an applause. No, he received a dungeon. And so it was very difficult for him to be locked away in a dark dungeon. He was locked away for a year and a half in doom and gloom while Herod partied all the day in the castle above him. How difficult it had to be for John. And John began to doubt. John had been on a mission for God to prepare for the Messiah. He had to think, why didn't the Messiah come to my rescue? Why didn't the Messiah bring his judgment down on Herod and set me free? Why didn't the Messiah get rid of Rome? Why didn't the Messiah run the Romans out? And so those whys became very real to John, and they came up in his mind, and he began to say, why? Have you had an attack of the whys? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did this person have to die? Why did this person have to get sick? Why did this happen to me? Why? It is not wrong to ask why. There are whys that come across our mind, but it is wrong to live in the why. We need to trust in God more than we doubt in our whys. Let me be very honest with you. We don't have all knowledge. Would you agree with that? John the Baptist did not have all knowledge. Jesus had all knowledge and still does. And so while he has all knowledge, we do not have all knowledge. We need knowledge, and that knowledge can only come from God. There are some things you don't know. There are some things you will never know. Now, I have run across a few people who thought they knew everything, but was not the reality for them, and that cannot be the reality for you. John the Baptist was wise. John the Baptist had a miracle story to tell, but John the Baptist did not have all knowledge. And so the wise came in upon him, and he dwelt in the wise, and that tormented him. Today, if you are tormented by wise, let me just share with you some things you don't need to know. Life is on a need-to-know basis. If God believes you really need to know something, he will give you that information. But if God chooses not to give you that information, guess what? It may be information you don't need to know. Don't beat yourselves up with not knowing it. Trust in the God that you do know. Trust in the one that loves you. Trust in the one that has all power. Trust in the one that can handle all things. And what you don't know, trust in the fact that he does know and that he can handle a situation that you can't handle. That's our God. And so John had doubts. But for your doubts, Jesus has direction. In verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus understands us even in our low moments. You know, he didn't get on to John. There were times that he did get on to people that did not believe for their lack of belief, but he doesn't get on to John. No, he comes to John, and he deals with John in a way that understands that John is tormented and John is having difficulty, and he understands John in his difficulty, and instead of pushing him down or instead of giving him trouble, he meets him at that point of concern, and he gives him what he needs. I am here to tell you, if you honestly or have ways of doubts, if you will go to God believing, if you will go to God trusting, you will find God will meet you there and he will give you what you need. In Isaiah 35, we have, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as the hart and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. What is that? That's when the Messiah comes. That's exactly what the disciples of John saw Jesus doing. Jesus revealed that what he was doing is exactly what God through the prophets said the Messiah would do to prove he was the Messiah. John had prophesied those very same things. John had spoken of the Messiah. John knew what the Messiah would do, and he put that forward. And so John puts forward the message, God says, okay, the message is being fulfilled, and Jesus is able to say, go tell John what he said the Messiah would do is what you see me doing. Which means, yes, John, I am the one that you foretold of. Yes, John, I am the Messiah. Yes, John, I am the Savior. Yes, John, I am the one that will meet your needs and the needs of all who follow. Some doubt when a loved one becomes sick or perishes in death. And people wonder, well, where is God? And I've had people doubt God. In this virus, I have heard people say, well, why would a loving God give a virus like this to us? And why would God allow this to happen? Doubting God. Listen, let me be very clear. God did not say there would never be sickness. God did not say there would never be a virus. God did not say you would never die. In fact, God says the opposite. God says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. God says that sickness will come. And yes, sickness does come. And God says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. God gives you the truth. People want to make up their own truth. You see, a lot of times people doubt because they have made up all these ideas of what they think God's going to do. When you have doubts, ask yourself, are you doubting because Jesus has failed you? Or are you doubting because you didn't get your way? You see, most of our doubt comes out of our selfishness, not out of God's word. Most of our doubt is because we didn't get what we wanted, not because God didn't act. God has accomplished all that God foretold that he would accomplish. God has offered us eternal salvation. God has offered us forgiveness and a life in a heavenly home. God has offered to meet us at our lowest points and to raise us up. He will help us when we face coming death. If you are plagued by doubts, take a look at Jesus. Look at his words. Look at what he's accomplished. Look at Jesus on the cross. How can you see Jesus suffering, bleeding, dying for you, and doubt that he cares for you? When the doubts come, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to live wondering, does God care? Because yes, Jesus cares. He cares for you. He cares for what's happening in your life. He cares for what's happening in our world. He cares for us far more than we know, far more than we could ever know. And so Jesus lays out to John's disciples, this is who I am. Let John be at peace. Then the disciples of John go to tell John the good news and to relieve his doubts. And John has a defense given by Jesus. In verse 28, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not one greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Jesus reveals the truth that John the Baptist had fulfilled the purpose God had given him to do. God had said there would be a forerunner to come before Jesus to proclaim that people should repent and turn to God. That person is John the Baptist. Jesus gives John the Baptist the highest possible praise. John's moment of doubt did not erase all the good that God had done through him. And my friend, let me tell you, if you have done anything for Jesus, the fact that you have a doubt come into your life doesn't erase what you've done for Jesus. What you've done for Jesus will stand for all eternity. It will not go away. It stands because it is in his power and for his glory. Jesus reveals the truth. John the Baptist was a chosen vessel, and he served God well. Don't look at the negatives in his life. And by the way, while we're here, you know of believers that have lived a glorious life for God, that have fallen into sin or fallen into difficulty or fallen into doubt. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to erase their whole life because they messed up. Let me tell you, my God doesn't erase a life lived for Him. My God gives forgiveness. My God gives redemption. My God gives salvation. My God gives hope. So don't be so quick to erase a good life because of a mess up. Look at your own life and see where you messed up maybe once or twice or 10,000 times. And maybe look at people with forgiveness and hope. Jesus had people look at John the Baptist and look at John and John's life, and he pointed out this is a guy that did what God called him to do. He is someone that should be respected, not reviled. Don't let doubt be the mark of John the Baptist. Well, don't let doubt be the mark of your life. Even if a wave of doubt comes through, push through the doubt, look to Jesus, and then keep serving Him. If you will keep on looking to Jesus, keep on lifting up Jesus, keep on serving Jesus, the doubts will fade and you will see God work in your life and you will say, aha, yeah, I knew it all the time. Jesus is real. If John had known the type of suffering that Jesus would do, Jesus says, the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, he's greater than any one of the prophets, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Wow. That's kind of confusing. He is saying those that are born again, those that are on this side of Calvary, have more that we can accomplish than John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist was before the cross. John had no idea of the full weight of the cross and what Jesus would go through there and how he would suffer, bleed, and die there. Those of us on this side of the cross, we have a picture. We don't understand it all, but we have a picture at least of what Jesus would go through for us. If John knew what Jesus was going to endure for our sin and knew the weight that he would bear on the cross, then John would not have felt his situation so dark. So disastrous. You see, John lived on the other side of the cross. On the other side of the cross, the Holy Spirit could come and the Holy Spirit could leave. He knew the power of God's Spirit, yes, but the Spirit could come and go. On this side of the cross, to anyone that is born again, anyone that gets Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in their life, the Holy Spirit will come to live in you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You have something within you that John could only dream of. John had a spirit that would come and go. You have a spirit that will never leave. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. His spirit will always be in you if you are a believer. You have that abiding hope, not a passing hope. You have something to help you with your doubts that John did not have. The blessings of God and the power of God and the direction of God are open to all who will receive Jesus as their Savior and who will trust in Him and who will rest in His promises. Yes, you may have doubts. They may come your way. They will come in the dark moments. They will come in times when you need to have more faith and the doubts will just come through. That's the devil trying to unsettle you. When you have the doubt, may I ask you just to look at the cross? Think of Jesus dying for you. Think of Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of Jesus breathing his last, commending his spirit to God. Think of Jesus lying in the tomb. Think of Jesus coming forth from the dead, alive forevermore, to give you victory. And let the doubts fade away. You don't have to live in doubt. You can live in hope. Hope in the God who loves you so much that Jesus came and laid it all on the cross for you. Yes, John would die at the hands of Herod, and then he would be ushered into paradise, and he would never doubt again. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to know Him, because only in Jesus is there rescue from doubt. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you just need to trust Him. And when the doubts come, let them pass. Don't live in the why, live in the who. The who is Jesus, and He has done all that's necessary to deliver you. He will give you victory. Trust in Him today, and you'll have that victory. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we ask that You would move in our hearts, that You would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, we pray that in this moment that You would take our lives, that You would glorify Yourself in us. Father, if there was anyone here that doesn't know You, I pray that they would come to know You. And Father, for those that know You, Lord, that You would deliver us from doubt, that You would allow us to stand in the victory of Your truth. And Father, You would show us Your way day by day. Thank You for what You will do, giving us hope, not doubt, giving us victory, not defeat, showing us a way that we can live for You and see Your glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I hope you filled out your card, because that's very